We're invited to experience God's word today. It's recorded in 1 Samuel. We'll be reading 1 Samuel 8, verse 1 through 9. Subheading, if you actually have the Pew Bible out, will say, Israel demands a king. And it's really a dramatic point in the history of the nation of Israel here. And it isn't like this is necessarily all of a sudden out of the blue they're demanding a king. It's looking like, you know, we really kind of wanted to do this, and we're going to kind of take our shot and present this to Samuel now. So we'll read 1 Samuel 8, verses 1 through 9. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, Behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, Obey the voice of the people and all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds they have done, from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you. Now then, obey their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them. May God bless the reading of his holy and inspired word.
I have to let you know what's in my heart this morning. I was looking forward to doing this because of the anniversary for tomorrow. As some of you know who I've spoken to, you know that I can sleep like a log. I can sleep through anything. Last night, I was awoken probably 5 or 6 times. It was very strange. So much so that I had to come to grips with this sermon this morning. And the Lord really laid on me some thoughts, some scripture. And I want to read a couple verses to you because I want you to know this morning that there are probably a lot of pastors. I hope that there are a lot of pastors this morning. I'm looking forward to seeing how many or that are there, any who are preaching this sermon this morning about Israel because of this 70th anniversary. I want to read something to you that's so important. It's out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. He is talking about a mystery of the church, but he's talking about the division between the Jews and the Gentiles coming down, the wall coming down. You are one with those Jews who will be saved. That messianic Jew that was talking to us last night, you are one with that Jew. He is in Christ, but there are some who are not, will be. And this is so important that listen to what Paul says. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, this good news, that we are saved in Christ and the Jews will be saved. Remember this. this is key, was given to me by the working of his power. Verse 10. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers in the heavenly places. I submit to you that any church that allows this preaching and submits to this preaching that we're going to talk about this morning is not only talking to its congregation, but is a witness to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So that God is unveiling a mystery to those who did not understand God's grace to Israel and the church. And I'm going to show, I pray, how important this is. And you will see in the news, in your coming days, exactly how important this is and will become. 70 years. Thank you, Gary, for laying out the idea of 70 years, 80, if we have the strength. We pray God will, Jesus will come soon. So you know that the embassy is being moved. You know that President Trump became our president. We out of the blue. I would not have voted for him in the primaries. I did not vote for him in the primaries and would not still. And yet, knowing what I know now, I know why God did what he did. When I saw all the southeastern states turn purple, I turned blue. It was strange. It was weird. And now here he submits to God's saying, Jerusalem is Israel's capital only. However, he's not done. There's rumors coming out, but we're going to wait for the rumors, okay? We're going to wait to see what his plan is. We'll see. But he's made a bold step. And the Palestinians weren't able to gather all the Arabs and come against them, and World War III happened. It pushed them aside. This move was brilliant on Trump's behalf, and I'll say God's behalf. And you see what's happening. The United States flag is being placed in East Jerusalem, in the capital. And there's the embassy going up. And there's, listen to, look at this. Trump is a friend of Zion. That word Zion is God's name for his own city. That's a biblical term. And yet, look what has happened. I want to show you what is happening, and I can't even touch the height of this or the depth of this, what is happening in the world and in the United States. Anti-Semitic incidents provoke unease in Berlin. This is in the UK. Anti-Semitism measures are rejected. This is all around. Swastikas found on Harvard. Belgium intern uncovers homophobia and anti-Semitic and all that other stuff in Brussels. Malaysia elects a 92-year-old authoritarian, proud anti-Semitic. And you know what Turkey has said and what they're doing and what they want to do. More on that in a minute. Anti-Semitism rate soars in the United States. 57%. It's the highest it's ever been, the rates of anti-Semitism in America, ever been since they started recording this. Ever. Why? That little tiny nation of less than 1% of the world is so important that we, the universities and the businesses are boycotting Israel. Oh, they're so important. In whose idea? You've heard of BDS. Boycott, disinvest, I think, or something like divest. And sanctions against Israel. And Erdogan's vision is to unite an army of Islam to destroy Israel in 10 days. And that hasn't been in the news in just one newspaper. It's been in many. that he wants an Islamic army, and now his people are beginning to voice their need and desire for it. If you know your Old Testament, you know exactly where this is going. This is going to Ezekiel 37 and 38. This is going to God's hand against the nations of the world and against Israel for a time. Oh, Israel is so important to God and the devil and the world. Let's see some things. Let's look at some things. This is very interesting. Let's do this first.
God, I like doing this every once in a while.
I give out candy. All right. What's the longest book in the Bible? And I'm talking about chapters now. Psalm, which one? Okay. So I'm gonna give you both one, okay? Who said 119?
Okay, so Sue.
What's the shortest one? There you go, Don. You get the candy bar. Can you catch that? I'm throwing. I hope you're catching. What is... Now, you better get this one. What is the most named person in the Bible? Chance? I'll give you two chances, Chance. What? What was the second one? Close. Yes. That should have been. Which one do you want, Champ? I know which one. I'm not dumb. Well, not real dumb. God is mentioned over 5,000 times. What's number two? Be bold.
Israel.
Who said Israel? Israel. Israel. Remember, the church and Jesus along with the church is a little bit of a mystery. You can say Messiah and some other words. He's got lots of names, so he probably would actually be first. He's got lots of names. But the word Jesus is not even close to Israel. Do you know that the name Israel is mentioned almost 2,500 times? You know the law of proportionality, right? When God says something, like when Jesus said something, verily, verily. If he said verily and then he said verily, verily. It means pay attention. Israel's mentioned 2,500 times. Did you know that two, and some would say three, of the verses in Genesis concern creation? Did you know that there's one or two? I mean, again, how you determine what verses in two on the flood and other things. But do you know what the rest of the book is about? Some 38 verses, I mean chapters, is about what? Israel. What is Exodus about? Oh, that's about Israel too. What's Deuteronomy about? Oh, that's Israel too. What's Leviticus, the law to Israel? What's Numbers? Do you see where we're going here? And here, I hear out there this idea that the Old Testament isn't important and that I'm reading Israel isn't important and yet the whole world is going after her. And so is God. So is God. In Matthew 25 and Matthew 10, he says, you're going to be handed over. I'm going to hand you over, he says. Jesus is basically saying, I'm handing you over. Only so that you would come back. How important. This little nation that's less than 1%, and actually two-thirds of them will be gone by the end of the tribulation. We're talking about what? 1 million, 2 million people saved? Maybe? That is strange. That doesn't make sense. You wouldn't do business by that kind of thinking. You wouldn't carry out a war by worrying about that little tiny nation. And yet 57 nations with a five million man army is lining up to go against Israel. Why am I preaching this morning? Because the churches are not going to preach this, and are not. They're afraid of it. And you and I need to carry the story. It needs to be our part to carry the story forward. In those days, at the end of Judges, it says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And we just read, Don just read for us, that this stubborn, Stephen called them stiff-necked nation, continues to throw God out, do away with him, run. Jonah would run from him to the farthest port. They run and give him over. And yet God's faithfulness is going to, we're going to see it today, is saying, I am handing you over so that you will come back. Why? In Deuteronomy, he says, you weren't better than anybody else. You weren't some great nation. Amir said the other day, don't want to be a Jew. You do not want to be a Jew. We don't want to be a Jew. And some of them don't want to be Jews. In the United States, most of the Jews are hiding their Jewishness. They don't want any part of the religion because it's bad business. Because they're being boycotted. And because if you go over there, you're being targeted. What is the world all upset about? You haven't seen anything yet. You understand? We haven't seen anything yet. And Jesus also said to the church, I'll only mention this once, they will persecute you as well. And especially if you stand with them. Why? Because they're occupiers of the land. They're called occupiers. They're occupying the West Bank, and they're occupying this, and they're occupying that. And God said, hey, you're only occupying a tenth of the land. You haven't seen anything yet. What is the world all upset about? And so in 1948, look at this, the Palestine Post. That's a made-up name, you know. There's no such place or no such people. That was the Roman name for the Philistines that they gave to the Israelites. And if they weren't that, to the Greeks, they were the Idumeans, a made-up name between Edomites and the Judeans. Everybody's making up names. Everybody's making up borders. And God says, I'm not going to stand for this. And the question is this church going to be one of them? We're not going to harp on this and harbor on this, but we're not going to let go of it either. We're not letting go of this because it's so very important to God. Oh, by the way, you can't read it from there. Maybe you can. Oh, yeah. Look at this. The Egyptian Air Force Spitfires bombed Tel Aviv. Well, wait a minute. The Egyptians have Spitfires? Where did those planes come from? Who made the Spitfire? Say it. Britain. Britain? Our friend? No, they're not friends. They're not friends. They were the ones occupying the land after World War I. They took the land from the Ottomans. When they conquered the Ottomans, the French and the Brits split that land up. And the Brits said, hey, we'll watch it. We'll take care of it. Until they got tired of the Jews. Until they got tired of them. Because the Jews wanted the land back. Think about this now. After World War II, when the Jews were decimated by the millions. Oh, why so many? Why did the world hate the Jews again? It's satanic. And so, 6 million Jews died. The rest of them go, Poland hates us. Germany hates us. Everybody hates us. Where are we going? And the United States gave them some ships and some army to send them to their homeland. And they fought for their homeland against the Brits, the Brits Spitfire. Oh, then they set up this state called Israel. We're going to name it Israel because that's what God named it. We're going to name it Israel. And then what kind of government are we going to have? Let's pick a government. Well, kind of Britain, they're the power of the world. And the United States, they're the upcoming boy on the block. Girl on the block, sorry. And Ireland, let's do that. Let's take one of their democratic republics with a constitution. Excuse me, back in 1 Samuel chapter 7, they didn't ask for a king, they demanded a king. And they're still demanding everything other than God. And so this is the reason, this is the very reason that Luther, he was given charge to straighten up Geneva, and he banned the Jews from coming to Geneva? Because Luther said, do I have that quote here? Luther said, what did he say? That, I have it right here. Something to the effect like, they will have no blessings from the Bible, only the curses. Now, I know many of you are from the Lutheran background and maybe from other denominations, but let's put the facts where they are. Luther tried to reach out to the Jews and they didn't want anything to do with it. And so he said they are cursed because they are rejected because they killed Jesus. And Calvin pick up the same line. And so this Reformation was good. The Reformation was very good, saved by grace alone, but it was not complete. It was not done. And so the Jews were banned, left out of Geneva and other places, and still are today. So they picked our government. They picked our government because they've left God behind. Now let's see how well they did. This is what James Madison said of our government. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. In framing a government that is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself. How do you think the Brits did by picking that government? Because our government is out of control. We're $22 billion now, $22 trillion in debt. Thomas Jefferson, the natural progress of things is for liberty to yield and government to gain ground. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy that did not commit suicide, said John Adams. The Constitution is not an instrument for the government to restrain people. It is an instrument for the people to restrain the government, lest it come to dominate our lives and interest. And now we know that the Supreme Court is writing its own Constitution. Our government is out of control. And Israel picked this government? Which is supposed to be constrained by the Constitution, And here's one for you, because I've never heard of it before. Do you know that they have an unwritten constitution? It's verbal. To keep the powers in check. That government is bound to fail. Because they did not, again, ask for what? Their king. Their God. Now here's the very interesting thing. Why would a God in heaven put up with this? And I asked myself over the last few nights, and it comes like this. Why would a God in heaven put up with me? Because he is a faithful God, and based on his promise, he's going to see this through. He's going to see this through. Do you want to know how important it is? Let's look at one more here. Another quote from Patrick Henry. I know no other way of judging. I know of no way of judging the future but by the past. So we should, that's a good clue for us and for Israel. But watch this. See, here's their government. Here's Israel's government to come. God said, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. That was today. That was thousands of years ago, by the way. I have installed my unto us a child is born, to us a child is given, and the government shall be on the government of the Brits or somebody else? No. Upon his shoulder. That's a promise, by the way. That is a promise. And Jesus came the first time to ask the Jews, hey, your king has come. He said, the kingdom of God is near. And they said, let's crucify him. And which they did. But yet, God is faithful. And here's Paul. And this is where we want to go. Here's Paul. Our apostle, our teacher. And this is what he says of Israel. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. So Paul says, my people are disobedient and they're stubborn. But what else does he say? The only thing left to them were the curses found in the Bible. This is that Luther quote, and none of the blessings. This is why the world and much of the church has given up. These are the verses and the quotes that they use to give up on Israel. They are cursed, but they don't read the rest of the scriptures. Paul says in Romans 11, I asked them, did God reject his people? By no means. Now, we should stop and have a little party and drink coffee and cookies and figure out what by no means means. Because we're in the minority and I'm not sure I've got it figured out. Can you help me? I know I'm being sarcastic. I know that. Because we're swimming upstream here. And this is the way the world, and not just the world, the church is going. Many of you who go on Sunday nights, you remember the slide I put up that talked about the BDS, the divestment and sanctions and boycotts, and the churches that are allowing gays and homosexuals and anti-Semitism in their churches. And you remember who was up there. Some of us were very familiar with and very concerned for. He has not. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of you and me, of you and me, of the Gentiles are come. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. And the guy last night, very appointed, said, all Israel at that time, at that appointed time, will be saved. And some now. We know Jewish, Messianic Jews now. And so, he goes on. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. Now, before we keep going here, this is the verse that woke me up last night. Now, I want you to think about this. This is via the Holy Spirit to Paul. Paul is talking about himself and about his concerns for the Israelites. But he's speaking via the Holy Spirit, the heart of God right here. And we have to understand this. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now, pause again. Why would he cut himself off? Simply because they were his kinsmen? No. Look what he says. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belongs the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forevermore. Amen. He is saying they deserve it. Some whatever portion God desires, they deserve it because it all came through them. 38 chapters of Genesis. Pick a book. You have to go through 17 books in the scriptures before you come to Job, which is not about Israelites in any way, shape, or form that I can see. But that was well before Moses. And then you go one or two, and then you go another couple, and then most of the books, again, all the prophetic books are about what? The day of the Lord, judgment on the nations, judgment, and then redemption of Israel. That's what is in front of us. And that's what's happening now. And that's why we see the news clips that we do. And he says, and this is going to come home here now, okay? I will bless those who bless you, he said to Abraham. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, you remember, and I've mentioned this before, but I just want to see it. I want us all to see it. Where does God begin his judgment? With somebody else? Or with the church? And we begin to see the churches say, Israel, they've given up their right. But God hasn't given up his faithfulness. Israel has rejected God over and over and over. They don't deserve it. Neither do we. Because if we've broken one law, we've broken them all, it says. So where does the grace of God end? It does not. It doesn't. It doesn't. And so I am pleading with you this morning. I'm going to plead with you this morning to watch what is happening in the news, because as it begins, the Lord says, as these things begin, look up. And Iran, we've been talking about Iran for years now. Iran has finally hit the news. They finally attacked Israel with nothing. They got nothing because Israel just decimated them. But that's only the beginning. That's the hatred. They're going to show the hatred that they have for Israel, and Russia is going to back them up. Gog and Magog is being set up right now. Now I'm going to finish with another test.
What do I got left?
Do I have anything left? I got a Snickers. What's the longest, and it should, remember, if it's long, it's important, right? What's the longest, all of you who have won, let's have somebody else win. What's the longest book in the Bible with 42,000 words? Did you win, Chance, already? 42,000 words. 42,000. 42,000. Okay, let's have some guesses. Chance? Nope. It'll be a tough one. Right in the middle of the Bible. Now, let me give you a clue. It starts with a man who is called. And then he says, boy, Israel's in for it. But so are the Assyrians. And so are the Babylonians. And then the last several chapters of the Bible, it talks about Israel coming back in glory and getting its land and on and on and on. And if you read this book from cover to cover, you go, man, wow, there's great hope. We need to be paying attention to this little people. What book is that? Close. What's the next one? Jeremiah. Jeremiah. The longest book in the scriptures. And Isaiah basically does the same thing. You see, do you see the importance that God has put on this people? And yet we read it like, well, this means for me, and boy, it's helpful for me, and it is. Please don't get me wrong. You're going to hear me preach this in the future. How it's appointed as helpful for us, and boy, God's salvation is good for them, it's good for us, and on and on and on. But see, they are there. The Old Testament is there because God said, I'm going to pick this people, and it's going to be a type of you. And it's going to fail over and over and over. But hey, righteous person falls 7 times and gets back up. And hey, by the Holy Spirit's going to help you get up, and you're going to get on your way. And then at the end, you may fall on your face. But guess what? You're still going to heaven, because the Holy Spirit is an eternal guarantee for you. And so is God's promise for Israel, because he doesn't forget his promises, and he never will. And so you're going to, depending on how many years we've got, you're going to begin to hear this stuff. We're in the last bastion of conservatism, isn't it? We're in a quiet little place. You wait. You wait. You get into some discussions with people who say, my pastor said this. Well, have you read the scriptures? Because see, not 1,500 years ago or 1,200 years ago, it used to be the church who preached the scriptures to you and wouldn't give you a Bible. And that's what the Reformation did. Changed that, which is good. But let's complete it. Let's finish it. Israel is coming into the kingdom in her time. And that's promised for us. If God can keep that covenant, he can keep the one to you. Because you're probably not as stubborn. Let's pray. Lord, we worship you and honor you. Please give us this vision. While the nations in the world come against Israel, while the churches turn their back on Israel, they don't want to preach about her, or she means something else. Replacement, like the church has taken her place, and that makes God a liar. That makes you somebody who can't keep your promises. And we don't want to fall into that. So help us, Lord. We worship you and honor you. We pray for peace of Jerusalem. We know it's not coming soon. It will, but we continue to pray for it. But yet, until then, Lord, I pray that you will strengthen this church. You will bring members to this church. You will bring members who are friends of us, who we know. And we will strengthen this church to carry on the gospel that includes the people of Israel. In Jesus' name, amen.